As Paul says, when we are up here, I'm doing this for over 60 odd years, since 1968. Preach Jamaica, Canada, America, all over. And the only thing that I preach and like to hear about is Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And not only that He is crucified, but He rose triumphantly from the dead. And that's what we are going to talk about today. But before I talk about that, I don't know if my niece is here, and if Sylvia is here. Raise your hand if you're here. Sylvia, you're here? And Jerry. I'm going to ask Sylvia and Jerry to just stand briefly. Stand, please, Sylvia and Jerry. You know who these people are? These people are the ones who feed us from Casco. That lady you see there and that man, all the goodies you're getting from Casco, they are bringing it to us. And you know the good thing about their delivery? It's free. Thank you, Sylvia. Thank you, Jerry. Is my niece here? Velita, are you here? No, she's not here. Anyhow, yesterday I had a very busy week. And thank God for this man, Pastor Gary. Because, you know, Wednesdays, and I have some very good people, dedicated people, who work with me in the food pantry. Everybody's a guy in the forefront, and it's a guy doing this, guy doing that. But listen, I don't want to start calling names, but I have a lot of very good, dedicated people who see this as a mission, as their job, to work in the food pantry with me. If not, it would not be possible. We're feeding over 250 people every week. That's what we feed, the community plus the church. And thank God for Pastor Gary and sometimes Pastor Ansu, because I drag them out and I say, listen, I have all this stuff coming in. I need people to put them away. They say, we are studying. I say, come on down and study with me. So yesterday was working all day with me, putting out those wonderful things down there. And so far this morning, we have over 60 families already fed. And we still will be feeding more. But I went to a wedding yesterday, and you know, God has a way that bringing you down. I'm going to see my niece, my brother who died in Philadelphia. My niece says to me, my dad is gone. I want you to walk me down the aisle. I say, okay. All the family, national and international, tune in to see me. So, and to see her. So it happens that I was sitting beside Judy, and something said to me, you need to go to the men's room. So I get up to go to the men's room. I hear, while I'm walking, plow, plow, plow. And then I hear it stops. And I feel this feet lighter than this one. So what happens is that when I look behind me, the sole of the feet was of the shoes was left over there. So I turn around looking for the, I look at the foot and see there's no sole there. I'm looking for it. So some ladies over there, over here, sir. So, you know, God says, you know, I thank God for my wife 46 years, going 47. And when I met her, I said to the Lord, this is your child. I have to treat her as God's child because God is watching over her. He said, she's a part of me, and really she is. And what happens is that these ladies came out and they say, we got your back. I said to myself, now I see why Jesus was hanging out with you guys. So they came with glue from a glue shop. where they do their nails. And they put it onto the sole of the shoes, and when I put my feet in it, just keeps sliding. The sole is going away from the shoes, the top of the shoes. So I said to them, do you have any elastic? So we got you. They brought me 3 huge elastic rubber band, and I put them over the That still didn't work. So I said, one lady came and said, sir, there's a Walmart over there. I said, honey, can you please go and buy me a pair of shoes? So I gave her $40, and she ran over there, and she got me a pair of shoes, black shoes. And I tell you, I was like, what do you call the guy who danced on the aisle there? What's his name? Fred Astaire going down. Because I have a new pair of shoes going down. So thank God for the ladies that God gives to us. And as we are going through you can take the front seat here. As God, we are going through the marriage thing right now, it's very important that men, we understand that these women that we married to, they are not just people, they are God's daughters. And we have to cherish them and respect them in every form, in every way. But the 2 people you see walking here, I was just talking about you guys' wedding. This is my niece and my nephew, Mr. and Mrs. Brandy. Stand up. That's the wedding I went to yesterday. Yes. Thank you for coming. So it was a wonderful wedding. Very beautiful couple. And thank God that by God's grace, you guys with the 46 years like your aunt and I have done. Anyhow, this morning, as I said before, the person who I really want to talk about, his name is Jesus Christ. And I want to talk about him, because when we realize who this person is, we understand that what we need to do is to humble ourselves before him and let him lead. And our job is to obey him. You know, you say, when we read this passage this morning, you're going to say to yourself, what God is this that gives this command? But you see, the difference between you and me and God is that God sees everything now. There's no tomorrow with him. There's no yesterday with him. Everything is now. And God makes decisions on what he knows, what he determines to happen. And what I want to bring to your attention this morning again is that you have 2 forces in the world. If you're not, your life is being run by either of them. The 2 great forces that you have, one is supreme, that control everything, which is God, and the other one is the devil. And the devil from day one tries or is trying to depose God, which is very silly of him, because he can never, ever do that. And from the beginning, if you're reading Isaiah, if you look in your bulletin, please jot down these saying here that I'm going to give you scriptures. There's a lot of scriptures that I can't expound on this morning because there are so many. I want you to write in the space of your first heading there, Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 16. Verses 12 through 16. You can write I'm giving you these scriptures that you can read them when you get home, because they are very important for you to know your Bible. If you don't know your Bible, if you don't know the history of you, the history of God, the history of your existence, you will never, ever able to get out of the rut that you're in and serve the true and living God. You have to know that. So I'm giving you these that you read them and understand who you're fighting against. You're not fighting against your brothers or your sisters. You're not fighting against human beings like yourself. You're fighting against the devil, principalities and powers you're fighting against. And in Isaiah chapter 14, 12 through 16, it says, Satan was tossed out of heaven because he lifted up himself and said, I want to be like the Most High God. Now think with me. I'm just touching on these briefly and move on because I want to get into the message. Think how stupid this guy, this force is, this person called the devil. God creates you. He holds every part of your being in his hand. And you're saying, gather some guys around, like yourself, the angels who went with him, and say, I want to get rid of him and take his position. That's very silly. And then you will see again in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 through 10, where Satan, God created his perfect son, Adam. And Satan went there and fooled Adam. And Adam stopped listening to God and started listening to Satan. And what happens? That's why we are all on our way to hell without Jesus Christ. That's the inheritance he gave to us. He disobeyed God. So in doing so, Adam left as our inheritance hell. That's what every one of us here are worthy of. That's why our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, without me, you can do nothing. That's why he said that. Because that's what Adam gave to us. And then, in Genesis, all behind these forces and these happenings is the adversary, because his main purpose is to make sure the Savior, who is Jesus Christ, does not born. Because if you read in Genesis chapter 3, God says to the serpent, because you did this, he's going to bruise your head and you're going to bruise his heel. And Satan is doing everything he can to stop the Messiah from coming to redeem us, because he wants, his only intention is to depose God, which he cannot do. So in Genesis chapter 4, verse 1 through 15, you have two holy human beings who God created, Adam, Cain and Abel. Abel was serving God. Cain didn't like it. Cain ended up killing the righteous Abel. So we have those. Then when you look and you go on, in Genesis chapter 25, you will find out where God is planning to bring the Messiah to redeem mankind. And what happened? Genesis chapter 25, and you find Rebecca got pregnant by her husband, Isaac, and the kids were fighting inside her womb. And they inquire. She went and inquired of God, and God said, you have two nations inside your womb. And both of them born, and when they born, the one who is Esau did not value the things that supposed to be his to inherit, for his right to inherit the blessing. He count that as nothing. And that's what happened to some of us as Christians. We don't understand what we have. So we treat it very slightly. He treated his inheritance very slightly, which was to bring the Messiah, or he's supposed to carry the torch to bring the Messiah in the world, because he was the firstborn. No, but he wants the lintel that his brother was cooking, because he was only looking for to satisfy his now. He wanted to satisfy his now. So he says to his brother in Genesis 36, he says, I don't care about my birthright. Right now I'm hungry. I want some of the food that you have. Give that to me. His brother, Jacob, who is a supplanter, says to him, sell me your birthright. He says, okay. Jacob says, swear to me. But listen, when you're making decisions and when you're doing things, always remember that God is listening. Never forget that. When you send an email, a text, or whatever you're doing, remember you have this person named God watching and listening. But he thought he could just get away with that, but God was the one who says who recorded that. And Jacob, somehow with Rebekah, in chapter 36, took the birthright, stole the birthright from Esau because he slighted it. Now, if you go into what you'd call it, your bulletin, and look in your bulletin, at the first part of it, you will see at the first paragraph the scriptures there. Why God told Saul to destroy the Amalekites. The Amalekites, Esau swore that I'm not going to kill you now, Jacob, but when mom and dad die, I'm going to kill you. And Rebekah heard that, and Rebekah sent Jacob away to her brother, Laban. I'm giving you all these scriptures, jot them down, and when you go home, read these stories, because they are very helpful, why God says what he says. So Esau apparently relate the story of the generation by generation, generation, generation. He relate the story how his brother robbed him of his birthright. And the hate continues all the way down the line. That grudge and hate continues. So what happens is that the Amalekites, who God told Saul to destroy, they are Esau's grandkids. That's why I want you to read it for yourself. I want you to read these stories. I don't just want to preach a message to you and you don't know where it's coming from, why God says what he says. They are Esau's grandchildren, the Amalekites. And what happened if you go into, I put it up here for you, Exodus chapter 17, when God redeemed the children of Israel, or took the children of Israel out of Egypt, and they asked to go through the country where the Amalekites were, because they hated them so badly, they decided to attack the Amalekites. The other nations allowed them to go through. They attacked them. The Amalekites attack Israel from behind. And God says, I will never, ever, ever forgive you. I will fight with you forever because you attack my people. What you should get from this morning, if you're a child of God, I mean a genuine, born again child of God, God has you in the palm of his hands, and whatever happens to you, God makes records of it, and God is going to block it, and God is going to stand by your side, don't matter what. Amen. You see, if you study a Bible, it's very important that you study a Bible and understand the Old Testament, because when you understand the Old Testament, you know, when I went to Bible college, the professor says to me, I went there because I was preaching. Way before I went to Bible college, I went there with a big head. And I said, what are these guys going to tell me? I know a lot of stuff. I read a lot of books. I read the Bible. And then the guys start throwing out some stuff at me that is like I was lost. Because he's showing me he's the professor. I'm supposed to listen. Don't go with the big head. So on my exam, he taught me some things. And by my knowledge that I had previously preached, I put a whole lot of stuff to what he says or what he taught me. What he did, I said, boy, I'm sure of an A. When I look at my paper, Dean Stove, I don't know if he's still alive, that was 40 years ago. I look at my paper when I got the paper, C minus. So I ran into his office and said, Professor Stover, why am I getting a C minus when I give you all these materials and these facts? He says, Guy? I say, yes, sir. He says, all I wanted from you was what I gave to you. So all the extra you gave me, it amounts to nothing. Because you did not give me what I taught you. I did not obey him. I do my own stuff. And thought, hey, guy, you're so smart. Well, they say, I'm going to teach you who's smart. You obey what I say. So here is it that God says to the Amalekite, says to Moses, he said, Moses, I want you to record this. Because I will fight with these people forever until they are no more. So here is it that we are here with this now. In Numbers chapter 24, God was so strict against the Amalekite that he told the Jews, do not mix marriage with them. Do not have your daughters marry them. And do not have your sons marry their daughter. He says, because when they do that, what is going to happen? They're going to turn your heart from following me. Are you getting what I'm saying? I remember while in Jamaica, as a deacon, young deacon, I was about 22, 23. We were on the deacon board with the other brothers. And this young lady, beautiful young lady, she could pray, and when she prays, like heaven comes down. She met this fellow. He comes to church every now and then. And she comes to the deacon board and say, we want you to bless us because we are going to get married. Now the deacons checked this fellow out and found out that he was not sound in the gospel. Well, she married him. And after she married him, she had a child with him. And after 2 or 3 years, she comes back to the deacon board. This is a true story. She came back to the deacon board and said, I just want to talk to your brothers. They said, okay, we want to hear you. She said, I want you to pray with me that God kill my husband. True story. Because this guy was everything but a Christian. And she was born again. But she did not listen to the word of God. And he was doing everything in the opposite direction from where she was going, serving her God. Anyhow, they end up divorcing. I leave Jamaica. So God said, do not intermarry with these people, because they will turn your heart from following me. You're a saved person, look for a saved person. You cannot mix oil and water together. It never settled. So God said, don't marry them. Then now we're getting into 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 9. I'm going to, now that I give a brief detail of why God says what he says, because I want you to get into Exodus, especially Exodus 17, and read that. The bottom line now, we are going to see what God says to Saul and what Saul says to Samuel. Turn with me, please, to 1 Samuel chapter 15. Saul speak about Agag. Samuel also said to Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint you king over his people, over Israel. Now therefore, heed the voice of the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord, I will punish Amalek for what he did to Israel. How when he came up from Egypt, now go and attack Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and do not spare them, but kill both man and woman, infant, nursing child, ox and sheep, camel and donkey." So Saul gathered the people together and numbered them in Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men of Judah. And Saul came to the city of Amalek and lay wait in the valley. Then Saul said to the Canaanites, "Go, get down from among the Amalekites, lest I destroy you with them. For you show kindness to all the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt." So the Canaanites departed from among the Amalekites. Saul attacked the Amalekites from Havilah all the way to Shur, which is east of Egypt. He also took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. But Saul and the people spare Agag and the best of the sheep, the oxen, the fatlings, and the lambs, and all that was good. And unwilling to utterly destroy them, but everything despised and worthless that they utterly destroy. What's wrong with what I read? The instruction that God gave to Saul, did he follow it? You read along with me, did he follow it? God says, utterly destroy everything. Utterly destroy everything means utterly destroy everything. He went with the people, and what he did, he saved the best. But you see, if you read in Luke, God says, what you count as great in Luke chapter, I think, 16 or 14, it says, what you and I think as great is abomination to him. Because you see, to you and to me, a person with a PhD who owns all the gold that the world can imagine to contain, The smartest guy that you may say ever lived, you look at him as a success. But as far as God is concerned, that is a big loser. A winner is a person that sometimes has nothing and serving to a living God. That's winners. If you don't believe me, turn when you go home and read Luke chapter 16. And you will find out a winner from a loser. You will find that. I think this thing is not working too good in the pocket. So you see, what happens is that you have to be careful not to get the praise of men. Not to look for praises from people like yourself. But look for praises and look for well done from the true and living God. You don't care what the people say. You respect everybody. I respect every human being that exists. I don't like what some of them do. I don't like some things I do. But I respect people. And when God gives you and I an instruction, He doesn't want you to add. He does not want you to subtract. He wants you to obey. That's Samuel's fault, Saul's fault here. We continue. Saul disobeyed God. Verses, continue in the chapter. Verse 10. Now the word of the Lord came to Samuel. Now if you notice in your Bible, you see this word, Lord, written in capital. Or throughout, when it mentioned Lord. It's written in capital. It means, when you see that capital there, it means a self-existing God, the all-powerful God, Elohim. That's what it's saying to you. The self-existing, powerful God. He doesn't need anyone to vote him in. He doesn't need anyone to bribe him. He doesn't need anyone to love him. He gives you love that you could give it back to him. So you and I are to love God, and we are to love each other and take care of each other, because that is his command. When we understand who God is, God needs nothing from anyone. No one can vote him out. No one can vote him in. He's God and God alone. And he's going to stand supreme. And I'm going to tell you something and tell Congress and the Senate and the king and the queens of this world. You are going to stand before God. God is not going to stand before you. You have an appointment with God. He does not want for you. He does not want with you. You're going to stand before God. And you're going to give testify to God what you have done in this life if you do not obey God. No, if or maybe, Samuel says, I was afraid of the people. We're going to continue. Now, the verse 10, I don't remember if I've been there before, I'm going back. Now, the word of the Lord came to Samuel, saying, I greatly regret that I have set up Saul as king, for he has turned back from following me and has not performed my commandments. And it grieved Saul, grieved Samuel, sorry. And he cried out to the Lord all night. So when Samuel rose early in the morning to meet Saul, it was told Samuel, saying, Saul went to Carmel, and indeed he set up a monument for himself. See how proud this guy is? Set up a monument for himself. Disobey you, God, I'm going to let them praise me. So he set up a monument for himself. And he has gone on around, passed by, and gone down to Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Saul, and Saul said to him, Blessed are you of the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. But Samuel said, What then is the bleating of the sheep in my ears, and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul says, They have brought them from the Amalekites, for the people spear the best of the sheep and the oxen to sacrifice to the Lord your God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. Then Samuel said to Saul, Be quiet. I will tell you what the Lord said to me last night. And he said to him, Speak on. So Samuel said, When you were little in your own eyes, I want you to stop there briefly and explain why Samuel says this. When God sent, that's why I tell you to read your Bible. Understand your Bible. Because you see these things, you will not understand them if you don't read your Bible. When God sent, Israel says to God, I need a king. And God sent Samuel to anoint Saul. What do you think Saul did? Anyone remember what Saul did? Who said that? Miriam? Marianne, who said that? He ran and he hid among the equipment because he thought he was not worthy or good enough to lead God's people. That's why Samuel said, when you are little in your own eyes, God chose you. And every one of us who are working for the Lord, we have to understand it is not because of our education, not because of our race, not because of our color, not because of our richness. It was God himself who chose us to lead his people and to lead them aright. He filled us with his Holy Spirit. And he said, go lead. And our duty is to lead. Listen to him feed you while you listen to him and follow. So it says, when you were little in your own eyes, God anointed you to be king. He says, continue. You would not eat. I'll go back a little. So Samuel says, when you were little in your own eyes, were you not head of the tribes of Israel? And did not the Lord anoint you king over Israel? Now the Lord sent you on a mission and says, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed. Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord? Why did you stoop down on the spoil and do evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said to Samuel, But I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. and gone on the mission of which the Lord sent me on, and brought back Agag, king of the Amalekites. I have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the plunder, sheep, oxen, the beasts, the best of the things, which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice to the Lord your God in Gilgal. So Samuel said, you notice where is he tossing the stone? And the people. God told you to leave. God told you what to do. You're supposed to say to the people, and if the people get in out of line, you say to them, that's between you and God. And there's certain ramification that will apply to you by God. That's what Samuel is saying. But he keep tossing it back. The people. And you're going to hear what Samuel said to Saul. First of all, going back a little, Saul is from the 12th tribe of Israel, the last kid of Jacob. The Benjamites. That's who he is. That's why Samuel says, you were almost nothing. You are the last tribe. And in that tribe, your family was the least in that tribe. But God, who knows everything, elevates you to the position you have as king for you to carry out God's judgment upon the sinners. Don't bring back anything. Say you're going to offer it to God. You're going to sacrifice to God. He doesn't need anything from you and I. Everything that you and I owns belongs to him. Even the very breath that we are breathing belongs to God. And when we understand that, we understand that this is a person we cannot bribe. This is a person that we need to obey. You know, God says, he that hated me loved death. And he says, the fool said in his heart, you find it in Psalms. He said, the fool said in his heart, there is no God. And when I talk to people, I say, yes, I believe there's a God. But if you believe there's a God, why are you not serving him? You don't have to believe. I tell you who comes to church more often than you and I. You know who comes to church every second of the day? Satan. He knows the scripture more than you do. But does he serve God? No. But God says, I look in your heart. And when I look in your heart, I can tell who you are. He's not just coming to church. He's not just giving a hefty offering. He's not just singing and shouting. He's not just doing what you're doing for God. He's a true person named God who comes to live in your heart and my heart, who you feel his Holy Spirit moves within you, and you can say, truly, I'm the child of God. That's what makes you a Christian. That's what makes you a Christian. So Saul said, hold on, buddy. I'm going to tell you what's happening here. Continued verse 22. So Saul says, has the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifice as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to heed than the fat of rams. For rebellion is a sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he also has rejected you from being king. So when you play with God, he can figure it out because he knows what to do. He moves you. He moves you. You know, if you read some of these people in the entertainment world, they make so much millions of dollars, but they are empty as can be. Some of them leave the church and they went into the entertainment world. And when they make all the money they can make, and all the fame and the fortune and everything, and when they're in their living room or their bedroom and they have no peace inside, they realize everything that they have gathered together was nothing but garbage. Because it doesn't give peace. It does not give satisfaction. It does not give assurance. And my brothers and sisters, what you can say as a Christian who know the Lord God as Savior, you can say, even when I don't have any money in the bank, you can say, it is well with my soul. When you don't have good health, you can say, I have peace like a river. Because Christians, as I often say, are winners living or dying. We are winners. Because Jesus Christ, our Lord, has gone to prepare our home. So we have nothing to worry about. You know, the song that sang this morning, Jesus removes every mountain. He removes everything, every pain. That's the Jesus I know for over 60 years. That's the Jesus I've been following. And I hope that's the Jesus you know too. Samuel says, obedience is better than sacrifice. Continuing verse 24. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord and your words. Because I fear the people and obey their voice. Isn't that something very, 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 very bad for a Christian attitude of a Christian? You fear the people, and you want to be more friends with the people than be the friend of God, your Heavenly Father. I fear the people. Why are you fearing the people? You tell me why. Why are you fearing the people? He continued here. He said, now therefore, please pardon my sin and return with me that I may worship the Lord. But Samuel says to Saul, I will not return with you, for you have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you. And the Lord has rejected you from being king over Israel. And as Samuel turned around to go away, Saul seized the edge of his robe and it tore. So Samuel said to him, the Lord had torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to a neighbor of yours who is better than you. And also the strength of Israel will not lie or relent. For he is not a man that he should relent. My brothers and sisters, we are serving the true and living God. We are serving the God who put the moon in the sky. We are serving the God who put the sun up there. We are serving the God who created all the trees and the grass around us. We are serving the God who sustained over 7 billion people, providing for them food, air, and shelter. We are serving the God who is self-existent. We are serving the God that no one can conquer. We are serving the God who looked at a man who died 4 days in the tomb, and he walked over to him, that tomb, and said, "Get up! Get up! Get up!" And he came forward. That's the God you are serving. And no one can conquer that God. So I will say to you, each one of you here who know God, my brothers and sisters, there is nothing to fear, because when we have God, we have everything, and we have every power. He's our parapet. He's the one of our wall. He's our defense. He says, "I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you to the end of the world." That's who I am serving. And I hope that's who you are serving. That's the God you're supposed to serve. You don't go to church, come to church, to jump and shout, and then afterward you leave like you don't know God. You come to church, and when you come to church, you come to church to be recharged. And when you're recharged, and you go out in the world, you can say to the world, "I have overcome the world because my Savior has overcome this world." And he said, if he has overcome this world, he has going to overcome this world also. That's who you serve him. Understand who you are serving. He does not relent. He does not need forgiveness from any man. He does not take back his word. His word is solid. Continue, and I'm going to finish. He does not relent. Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me, please, before the elder of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship the Lord, your God." You heard what I just read? Did you get onto what I just read? Let me read it again. Then he said, "I have sinned. Yet honor me now, please, before the elders of my people and before Israel, and return with me, that I may worship your God." He don't say his God, you know. He say your God. Your God. Why couldn't he say that we may worship our God? Your God. So when people are talking, you listen careful to what they're saying. You understand? So I continue. So Samuel turned back after Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Saul said, "Bring Agag, king of the Amalekites, here to me." So Agag came to him cautiously. And Agag said, "Surely the bitterness of death is past." But Samuel says, "As your sword has made women childless, so shall your mother be childless among women." And Samuel hacked Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Then Samuel went to Ramah, and Saul went up to his house of Gibeon of Saul. And Samuel went no more to see Samuel until the day of his death. Nevertheless, Samuel mourned for Saul, and the Lord regret that he had made Saul king over Israel. Ladies and gentlemen, in closing, if you go to Esther, not now, when you go home, write it down, please. Go into the book of Esther, chapter 3. And in the book of Esther, chapter 3, you will find that the same thing that God told Saul to do many years before, Haman, who became a powerful guy, requests from the king a letter to go in the provinces of the king and utterly destroy every Jew, mothers, children, oxen, everything that they had, everything that God told Saul to do. Agag, who's a descendant, Haman, a descendant of the Amalekites, went there and asked the king to do that. And Mordecai, who's a form of the Holy Spirit, resisted that. And to their surprise, God has to come back to their rescue. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, when our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says to us, "Love your neighbors, do good to them who despitefully use you," he said, "Love them who curse you." And he goes on and on, and you say to yourself, "I can't do that." Well, he says to you in Luke, he says, "Why call me Lord, Lord, and don't do what I say?" He said, "We need to do it. We need to understand that our commitment is not just the First Baptist Church. Our commitment is to the Lord God of heaven, who one day I am going to stand before. One day you're going to stand before. And when you open that book, and if your name not written in that book, as it says in Matthew chapter 25, he will have the goats on this side and the sheep on this side. And if your name is not in that book, he will say to you, 'Be gone,' and you will be gone in hell. But if your name is written in the Lamb's book of life, you shall be saved." In Matthew chapter 10, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, all these scriptures I'm giving to you, write them down and read them when you go home, when you have time. Matthew chapter 10, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ says, "Do not fear those who are able to kill the body, but who cannot destroy the soul." He says, "Fear him who is able to toss soul and body in hell." That's Matthew chapter 10. My brothers and sisters, you says the thing that God tells us to do is hard.
I agree.
But God did not ask you to do it. God says to you and I that we should allow his son, we should surrender and allow his son to live his life through us. It was Jesus, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who they spat in his face, who they beat him with a whip, who they called him all kind of racial slur, who they rejected from their parties and what have you, who they nailed to the cross, who they gave vinegar to drink. It was Jesus who went into the grave, and he says, I rose triumphantly. All power is given to me in heaven and on earth. And he says, what power is given to me? In Romans it says, the same power that is found in Jesus Christ who rose him from the dead. He said, you have that power. The same power that rose Jesus, you find that in Romans. It says you have that power in you to resist sin and to stand triumphantly. So I say to you, brothers, I say to you, sisters, let us start taking the victory march. And let us say, all to Jesus, I surrender. And when you sing all to Jesus, you surrender. Do not hold anything back. Surrender to him. God bless you.